I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the Tableau Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the very last episode of the Tableau Podcast. I'm going to miss you guys a lot. Really. I know many of you feel like this is like a weekly routine, you know, to have like my voice say weird stuff to you at least once a week. I know it's become a part of your like workout routine or your, I'd like to say commute, but many of us are not commuting. So it's become something in your week that you'd rather not lose. And I gotta say, it's the same for me, perhaps even more, because I also got to work with this like great staff that I saw on a weekly basis, which, you know, I'm gonna lose as well. This community that we have, it's a pretty big community now, and it's a lot to give up for me personally. So, but I must, because I feel like this could one day become more. And I don't know if I'm capable of taking this in a more like awesome direction, but I'd like to. And the Tableau Podcast has been, so far, it's been like a conversation between me and you guys, just about random things. But I'd like this to become something where I can learn things that I don't know, and in the process, we can learn together. And I think the time has come for me to take some time and really think about that. Because if I don't figure that out, I don't want this to be like a weekly thing where I'm trying to figure it out on air, right? I don't want this to be something that I'm just doing because I can. I want this to be something that I feel like must be done, right? So I need some time. No, but I want to meet like people with fresh new ideas. And I want to be able to introduce those ideas to my audience. Like, I am flattered that my audience has grown to know so much about me, and to luckily, you know, they like it. Thank God.
Yeah.
But I'd rather they know new things with me.
Yeah.
Because I am still in the learning process.
I want you to…
I bought a Kindle.
I want… Why?
What?
Why'd you buy a Kindle?
To read.
Well, you have like 30 iPads.
Okay. iPads shoot light into your eyes.
But you can change the screen mode, no?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
The way the hardware is built…
Yeah.
It shoots light directly… to your eyes.
That is how we see.
A Kindle is more like a…
Oh yeah, they do like that soft…
Etch-a-sketch.
Yeah.
Right? Is it Etch-a-sketch?
Yeah, Etch-a-sketch. Yeah.
So it shoots light from the sides, I think.
Oh.
So it doesn't shoot right into your eyes.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know this is because… So I've been reading a lot. Reading with an iPad… It looks beautiful, way better than an actual book. But my eyes hurt. And like I can see, I can feel that my vision has become very like horrible.
You gotta get that blue light protection lens.
I'm like watching TV and I can't read anything on the screen.
Yeah.
Like,
do you wear glasses?
I'm supposed to wear glasses, but I just refuse to. So it's been better on the eyes. And the reason, well, the reason why I mentioned this is like I'm going to these lengths to learn new things, to learn as much as possible. Like, you know, when I hit like 25, I was like, I pretty much, you know, read every book I need to read. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I had read a lot of books.
Yeah, that was your major.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I think I'm okay. I'm okay coasting for the rest of my life based on the knowledge that I've built up to this point.
Yeah.
And this just, I was wrong. I am very wrong. The world is changing and shifting in unexpected directions every single second. Like, I walked in here to do this episode today. By the time I walk out of here, the world will have shifted and changed and transformed and evolved in so many different ways.
Into a hotter fireball.
That everything headed into the that sun. Everything I've said till now won't matter. Okay? So I need to keep learning. So I'm going to take a long period of time to learn and to explore. And hopefully I can bring that back somehow. If not to this format, maybe to another format. I'll have to figure out the right format for it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who people might recommend to you to maybe have like a conversation with potentially in the future or something.
Yeah, like an astronaut or like…
I kind of want you to talk to like a Pixar animator.
I really want to talk to a Pixar animator.
I want you to talk to an animator specifically. Like either the director or just like an animator in general there and stuff. Like that'd be really interesting.
And the thing is, I don't want to do interviews.
Yeah.
Like I don't care what…
where they grew up.
No, I don't really care like what they're selling.
Yeah.
I want to meet people that aren't selling anything.
They're just doing life, but it's an interesting life.
I just want to learn the things that they're learning.
Yeah.
Or the things that they know, right? Like, for example, like this… with the Tableau podcast, we can talk about like AI, right? Ooh, is it gonna… scary, like… You know, like…
Find that episode. When did we do that?
No, we can talk about like the prospect of like AI and like also like, you know, will it become like this Terminator 2 situation, like Skynet situation.
But that conversation sounds very different when there's someone who actually works with AI.
I'd rather be talking to like someone who's actually creating AI right now. And because we need to know these things. Like, I know… none of us feel the need to like talk to somebody that's making a fridge, right?
Yeah.
Because a fridge is just a fridge, right?
Or so we think.
But with AI and with the world headed to AI, all our appliances are going to be, you know, using that technology.
Nowadays, a washer and a dryer has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they talk to each other.
Huh?
They communicate with each other.
Okay, well…
But that's the world we're headed, whether or not we like it. So, I'd like to be able to introduce whole new worlds. A whole new world with Aladdin. You know?
The bookstore in Korea.
Yes, which is a used bookstore in
Ooh.
Korea.
Thirsty.
But anyways, so today for the last episode, I'd like to just like say a bunch of like disconnected things that I'm hoping help you while I take this time off. Because I'm not going to be able to reach out to you every week.
Yeah.
Right? And with the situation just constantly changing with this virus, like we don't know what's going to happen. So I have absolutely no idea when I'm going to be able to perform again.
Yeah. It's,
it first scared me, like when Coachella got canceled and then like my tours one by one started being pushed to a whole other year.
Decade, yeah.
It started, at first I was scared because like I have a company to take care of. I have employees. Like even Eddie, I got to pay Eddie.
Yeah.
And it scared me at first, and then it kind of sat, like made me sad. But now it's like, it doesn't even, at this point, I can't even remember performing. Like I feel like I was never a performer. I feel like that was like a past life or something.
Yeah. Right? I saw a picture of myself on a trip like in the States and I was like, what? That happened?
Yeah.
Like I was in a room full of those many people.
Yeah. So I was working on an album too, right? And I was in LA at the beginning of this year working on the album. I don't know when I'm going to be able to be on stage again. And I really honestly don't even know when I'm going to be able to do the album. Like, my mind is in so many different places that I can't put a period on these songs. And because of that, I have no idea how I'm going to get in touch with you guys. This podcast was the only job I had this year. I had no idea this was going to happen. Like this was my side.
This was like a fun side hobby that was supposed to just like keep you entertained while
great you side work on hustle.
Music. Yeah, yeah.
It became my only unpaying job.
You were supposed to do this while you were bored on the tour bus, like in America and stuff.
So I want to say a bunch of things that hopefully like will help. First thing I want to say is, and there's no reason even behind some of these things that I'm thinking and saying. Right.
Okay.
Now.
These are just like lingering thoughts.
Yeah. Like
to wrap it all up.
I want to have conversations with people. I want to disagree with people. And in the process, really, really, really think about like how, you know, is there something new we can agree on? Like
very Socrates of you.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Am I Plato? Am I in class?
That's what I want. And that's actually been my creative process my whole life. Mm. And it's worked out for Epic High. I'm sure if you talk to my members, like my group members, I'm sure they're not going to have as positive of a view of our creative process as I do.
Yeah.
Because by nature, they are… Okay. Well, I'm not going to name names here. But we only have three… We only have two other people in the team. But
yeah.
Like,
we have Tithra and Mukuts.
Okay. Well…
Who's who?
We have one guy who doesn't like confrontation. Right? So, we'll quite often not say things… just to avoid that. We have one guy who is very certain of his opinions and is not as accommodating to, you know, opposing views. And then you have me who is, you know, constantly trying to have a conversation, right? Which might be very annoying to them. Or might feel like, why is this dude like, why can't we just do things like last time? And why does this guy need to like do things where there's unnecessary drama or conflict, right? Like why do we have to, like for example, we'll make a song and we'll have worked on it with somebody, but it didn't turn out the way it could have. Or the way we all would have wanted it to turn out. Okay, so in my the way I look at it is not that we failed, but our goal is to deliver the best possible version of whatever we can do for the audience, right? For the person who actually streams this song or buys an album, right? It needs to be the best we can do. So I'll look at that song and I'll be like, you know, we all gave it our best, but we're gonna have to collab with somebody else on this song because this is not working. And I'll have no problem talking to the collaborator to say, hey, this didn't turn out quite the way it should have. And if it's not the best representation of what we can do together, it's not good for you either. So I think we're going to have to change this song a bit or scrap it or work with someone else. And I'll have no problem doing that. Not because I'm inconsiderate, but in my opinion, because I'm considerate. Like, yeah. I don't want them to have a bad song either.
And also, other people would just straight up not even tell them. And yeah. they have to find out in the worst way that yeah. they're not on the song.
And this person, this collaborator, may be like, oh, yeah, I agree. Or, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, you don't like it? And that will happen.
Yeah.
That will happen. But here's the thing, like, what's the goal here? The goal is to get to a better place, to take this to a better place because either I or this person doesn't feel like it's there yet, right? And if that goal is in mind where we can take this to a better place, this conflict is not a bad thing. This disagreement that may happen is not a bad thing because it will take this thing to a better place, which will, you know, lead to more people feeling happiness with it, right? So if yeah. you have a good objective or like a benevolent goal in creating this conflict, then you got to do it, is my opinion,
yeah.
right? My members probably will disagree. They are less willing to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong, right? Because they have perfectly legitimate reasons for that, right? Their view might be, you know, they gave their time to work with us on this. Even if it didn't turn out as well as it could have, we should be respectful of their, you know, their time and talent and just go with it.
Mm.
Which is not wrong at all.
Yeah.
Which sometimes might be the right thing to do. But with the with the bigger goal in mind, I feel like it's never the right thing to do. See, but the thing is, the great thing is, they'll go along with it if I say, you know, we got to try this again. We got to make that call, right? That uncomfortable call or that conversation. And they'll go along with it, but they won't be like, you're right. Tableau, you're right.
Yeah.
Right? They'll be like, okay, well, I disagree, but whatever. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Right? And if it turns out better, they've never actually said, hey, you were right. Because that's not in their personality.
They just go, it's over now, right?
But
we gotta move on.
So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. But the important thing is, what if all three of us thought the same? If Mithra and Two Cuts thought exactly the way I did, and then we would just constantly have conflict and it would never end because you can never make it better and better. You can never make it perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there would be no stopping to that creative process. And if I agreed with everything their way, we would never have a good song.
Yeah.
We would always be okay with whatever happens instead of work, taking that next step or taking one more step. Like, so thank God that the three of us completely disagree on most things.
You know what's a great example of you being a very like reasonable person? This is very on topic, I promise. I feel like just as you expressed, you're very good at like going the extra mile to get like the ultimate goal. If it's if you think it's very much possible and it should be within your reach, like you shouldn't just like go for the step down version or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my personal experience with this is when you were asking on behalf of Haru for more Nook Miles from me and my friends. And I explained to you that she took everything that I had, like some mob boss entering my restaurant. And I literally was like, I have nothing for her. And you're like, not even anything, not even 2 miles. And I was like, no, she took everything. And then that's when I explained to you, Nukazan. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I know for a fact that if I try to explain to them what Nukazan was, and like how it works, they would have given up right away. Because I said like, because Haru wanted Marshall, which is a special villager in Animal Crossing.
Yes.
And I was saying, I don't know anyone personally who has it, but there's a website you can go on where you can bargain with other people to get that villager on your island, you know? And you were like, wait, what? How do you buy this? And I was like, just go on the website. How much is Marshall? I was like, it's this much. Go on the website. Wait, how do I get that? Go on the website. Send me the link the fourth time around. And I give you the link. And you go, I can't find the one that you wanted. Are you logged on? Do I have to make an account? How do I message them? How was going to call you? But like, the persistency is actually what I admire. You know? Because you were like, was it Kijunto? Like, it's too much of a hassle for most people. You know, any other dad would have been like, you're not getting Marshall.
Yeah, like
just wait,
said no.
Just wait for Marshall. You know, like, I'm not going to figure this website out for you. Like, I have to make a login. I have to find this person. I have to message this person. I have to coordinate when and how we're going to do the exchange and all this stuff. And you have to get, you have to even like pitch to them why you deserve Marshall and all that stuff. Like, it's too much work. Mm-hmm. It's too overwhelming. And it's not worth it to me or whatever the heck. But I like it when people are like you, where it's just kind of like, nah, go for it. Like, there is a way. You just have to make the account. You just have to go on the website. You have to talk to that person.
Since you brought up this example.
Yeah.
Like, if I did what you told me.
Yeah.
Because I eventually did figure it out.
Yeah.
It was really counterintuitive.
counterintuitive
yeah. for me. But I did figure it out.
Yeah.
But if that didn't work, right? Where like even that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I would tell Haru, like, Daddy tried.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a way for me to get you what you want.
At least not this way.
Yeah. But I want to be able to say to her that I tried and not be lying.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, she was also probably like breathing down your neck.
Yeah.
Being like, what is that website?
Well, no, she's not like that, right?
Yeah.
Because she would be okay with it. But if I had just texted you, like, can I have some Nook Miles? And you're like, no. And you explain to me why.
Yeah.
And then I tell her, I don't think there's any way to get it. I tried.
Yeah, you bargained with me 3 different ways. You were like, not even 2 miles. You can't talk to your friends. Do they have miles?
But if I had stopped there
and
I told her I can't get it for you, I tried.
Yeah.
I would be lying.
Yes.
I wouldn't have actually tried, right? Because trying means that you don't just give up the minute it doesn't work like right away.
Yeah.
Like you can't get instant gratification with trying.
Yeah.
Right? Like, trying requires you to at least take a couple more steps, right? And then I tell her I tried and I can actually not be lying, which is that's all I want. Trying to actually progress and trying to do it might not lead to progress. Yes, it might not lead to anything good, but ignoring it definitely won't lead to a thing.
That is true.
And that's something that I have to tell my members almost every day because they get annoyed at me. And they're like, why the fuck do we… Like, dude, this is just too much of a hassle. Let's just not do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, we cannot do it. But so like you're saying, if we do this, it probably won't work. So we shouldn't do this, right? And I agree. Yeah, it probably won't work. But if we don't do it, it definitely won't work. Yeah. If we don't do it, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
If we try, it might lead to, you know.
That's called identity capital.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have no idea what I don't know what those two words even.
It's a psychology
term. I don't speak English.
It's a psychology term. Identity capital is what you get from life experiences and like trying things out and seeing how they go and stuff. So that you have life experience that you kind of use as capital to build your identity and who you are and how you, you know, are able to step forward into other things. Like, you know, you cannot step through those doors until you pass through these type of thing.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, what you're talking about is basically how you build identity capital.
Okay. I have no idea what that means.
Oh. So like for
example. But I will try to figure it out.
Well, yeah. But for example, someone who's afraid to do an internship somewhere because mm-hmm. they're not sure if it's going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they already see a failure ahead of them, you know, oh, that industry is really hard, or like, what if I don't like it and I spend my time there, it'll be a waste of time and blah, blah, blah. But in actuality, no matter what, even if it's a quote unquote failure, you don't go through with it. Going through with it and having that experience gives you experience, aka identity capital, mm-hmm. because it builds who you are and who you will become,
okay.
you know, regardless of how that came about.
Okay, Diane.
I don't know.
Okay, okay.
I read books too. No, that was okay. from a book I read.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Like,
I mean, I wasn't even thinking about that while you're talking. I was just thinking about what kind of bug you look like.
What kind of books I'm reading?
Bug you look like.
What kind of bug I'm look like?
Yeah.
What kind of bug do I look like?
An ant.
I work like one.
Yeah. What kind of bug do you think Mithra and Tuketz look like?
Mithra definitely looks like a
beetle.
No, the big bug from Bug's Life.
The caterpillar?
Nah, not a caterpillar. Mithra looks like a frog. Does that count as
a bug? That's not a bug.
Okay, okay.
Frogs eat bugs.
Like a toad. Mithra looks like
a
toad.
That's still in the frog family.
Okay. Mithra looks like a dung beetle.
Okay.
In the nicest way possible.
Yeah, I think I said beetle.
Okay. And Tuketz looks like a praying mantis. No?
How is he tall?
Tuketz?
Yeah. I only met him once in person ever.
Wait. What does Tuketz look like?
Tuketz looks like… I don't want to say… I don't want to say a roach.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that.
I don't want to. I don't want to. I said I don't want to say
it. That's
true.
You didn't actually say it.
I didn't say it. I said I would like that definitely to not be said. And so I didn't say it.
He looks like…
He looks like a cocoon.
No, he looks like a stick.
There's stick bugs.
Yeah, like a stick bug. Or like a… Yeah, something like that.
He's,
or like…
He's skinny like
you,
that?
You know those tiny mosquitoes that don't fly but like are jumping around on the pond?
Oh.
Or like skipping around.
Yeah, pond skates or something
that. Yeah. He's like a pond skate. Tuketz is a pond skate.
Oh.
I would be more a dragonfly myself. No?
We're not talking about Nikim. We're talking about pure just look.
It's pure appearance.
Yeah. I was saying you look like an ant.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
I was trying to think about what I look like and you look like a bumblebee.
Wait, you were thinking about this as you were trying to explain that capital thing.
Well, while you were talking, I was just like, you know how I was like looking at you kind of intensely and wasn't saying anything for a while? That's purely just like, what bug do you look like?
Okay. Anyway, what else do I want to say before I sign off for a long, long, for forever? Before I sign off forever. I want people to be happy. Honestly. And I think some of the things that I've been talking about right now are hopefully help you become happy. like these are things I realized. Like after having lived a considerable amount of time, I think you know how like people say like health and wealth is important.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah.
Health is truly important and wealth is truly important and they are interconnected.
Yeah.
Like one would be meaningless without the other. Right? So like you can have a lot of wealth, but if you're not healthy, it's meaningless. And you can have and to have health, unfortunately, requires
health insurance.
Yeah, requires money.
Yeah.
But not even getting to health and wealth, I think so much of what is eroding our health and wealth, on a day-to-day basis, is happening with some of our habits and like our habits. Like our cognitive habits and also like this, you know, also all these different playgrounds that have come to be. I don't think it's leading to our health or wealth. And it's ironic that I'm saying it on a platform like a digital platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my music is distributed through a digital platform. And it's, I don't know, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's a, I feel like a lot of us are forced to erode our own health and wealth, ironically in the pursuit of health and wealth. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, just made me think of someone that I would want you to talk to in like not interview, but the potential conversational episodes. There's a psychiatrist who wrote a book with his daughter, and his daughter is a comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
So they together wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
and it's called, whatever, I was gonna say. It's called Fuck Feelings. And it's like basically the…
Your feelings don't matter?
No, just saying fuck feelings. Mm-hmm. It's like, as in like, they suck, we get it type of thing. And he, through his years and years of experience and with like all the different traumas his clients are like sorting through in life and stuff like that, his main thesis for the book is that basically like happiness and confidence is a false end goal for a lot of people with certain mental health issues because it puts a false carrot in front of them that they can always keep or like whatever, you know, hamster in a wheel type of thing. And when they don't get it, they don't get something that they really just aren't able to get. They feel even worse and it triggers them even more and stuff like that. But that, you know, this is a good…
No, I see what… Yeah, I see what…
And there's a lot of people who would for sure disagree with this. Like they would for sure disagree with like, you shouldn't tell people like they shouldn't try to be happy, you know, like… Why is it so wrong to tell people like, oh, just be more confident. If you're more confident, you'll get this and this and this. And they're like, my brain chemistry literally will not allow me to do that. So is it my fault?
Of course it's not. Yeah.
So he's saying like when people keep doing this kind of like toxic positivity, like blind positivity towards people like this, it's actually worsening their condition. He's so funny too. So it's like, it's said in a very like accessible way.
Can you send me the link for that? So yeah. I'll actually read that.
It's really good. I feel like he'd be a good person to have on.
Yeah. I would love talking to someone like that. Even if there are certain details that I would disagree with.
Yeah.
Right. Because I once, like when I had a radio show, I once said, I don't believe that happiness exists at all. Like I like the idea of happiness itself, probably isn't real. And there you can have moments of enjoyment or pleasure or like bliss, but those are moments.
Like fleeting.
Yeah,
yes.
Those are fleeting moments. And if you're able to continue to have those moments for a long time, great, you're lucky. But there's no such thing as happiness that you achieve.
Yeah, like and you get it and you stay with it forever.
And I got in trouble for that.
Like, it's too so despondent.
Yeah, like the people I was, well, the producer and like, and some of the listeners were like, how can you, you know, crush the idea of happiness? How can you like say that to your audience? Right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I didn't say that they were going to be like unhappy.
Yeah.
Or that they needed to be unhappy. I just, that's just my view. But, I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe there is like this secret level of happiness that you need to unlock or like, but I tend to not think of life as a video game.
Yeah. Right?
Where like at the end, like, you know, like Super Mario, at the end you beat, what's his name? Bowser? What is it?
Yeah, Bowser.
Is it Bowser? The flame throwing
turtle? And you
turtle?
Save Princess Peach.
Yeah. And then you end the game.
And guess what? Every game after that, it keeps happening.
Yeah, it keeps happening because it wasn't the end.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't think happiness is this like magic mushroom that you get or like these coins that you… or this level up or whatever. Like, I don't believe that life is a game and there, it's a quest for happiness. Because that would be really weird. Happiness… if it was like attainable as an entity, like as an actual thing, would just make no scientific sense. Right? Like how is that even… that's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be something that you just have. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah. I don't… that's why people get upset when you're like… you tell people who are struggling, like, just be happy or like, just be grateful for, you know, what you have, which isn't necessarily like on paper. You're like, oh, that's not wrong. Like to say like, oh, if you think more positively and you're more grateful outwardly towards like what you do have, it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean like the issue doesn't exist. You're just putting a weird blanket over it and be like, oh, look at this instead. That's the mess is still there. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's why it's to me, once again, opinion, it's like, it's unhelpful.
Yeah, it is. It is,
you know,
unhelpful.
It's, you're not even listening then to that person because this is a blanket statement that you're literally giving to anybody.
Yeah.
That might share with you that it's there's like, a problem.
It would be the same as like, oh, just, you know, Santa Claus is coming. You know, like.
Yeah, you're like, what?
Like, huh? Like, don't worry. Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah.
That, then you would automatically stop being friends with that person, right? Because… what the hell?
Yeah, you're talking to Elf the buddy.
You're
buddy
talking to a crazy person. But when they say something like, don't worry, it'll all turn out well. Or don't worry, you'll just be happy. Just smile more.
Yeah, are you that kind of person? If you like vent to someone, would you rather that person be like, oh yeah, shit, that sucks? Or would you want that person to like try to like help you?
Well, honestly… now that I'm older, like, I automatically, like, the second I start venting to this person, I automatically assume that this person does not care. Like, I actually know that this person probably doesn't care, right? And as a result, won't offer me any solutions or… like real advice.
Yeah.
So why am I venting even? And then I stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I don't expect any…
Can I ask then? Because I think this is actually a really also common theme amongst people who listen to your show that they are very co-meaning about a lot. Which is that we've the idea of adult friendships, like having a best friend as an adult or a close group of friends as an adult seems to get kind of lost as people get older.
Yeah.
But especially past like the 30s, I've noticed. Like, you know, I ask friends and I ask like, do your parents have friends? I feel like my mom has friends, but my dad like does not have friends. He just hangs out with like my mom and my mom's friends. Like I'll hear a lot of that. Or like neither parent has friends really that they seem very particularly close to. And well, like how that ends up.
here's my experience with it. It's really hard to have adult friendships because transitions happen on a much bigger scale, right? And I mean, I know friends that like still hang out with their best friend like every day, right? Because neither of them has experienced a huge transition away from each other. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you become an adult, like usually one per, like not everyone's doing the same transition at the same time. So like one person might get married, one person might move away, get a job somewhere. Another person might get a job at a rival company. I don't know. Like yeah. Things constantly shift, but they're like major shifts.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, oh, I'm going away to a new school. Bye, my best friend. Best friends forever.
Where like these changes can literally change who you are as a person.
Yeah. And so, I mean, clearly I have friends, right? I have friends, but, and some of them I would call my best friends. But I have not seen them for, I haven't seen some of my best friends for over a year.
Yeah.
And with a teenager's perspective, or like with a 20-year-old's like view, that might mean that I'm a bad friend. Even to that friend, if that friend is not married or you know, is still living the same as, you know, 10 years ago, even that friend might think I'm a bad friend, right? For never really hanging out. But the thing is, like, I now, like, I actually have a new best friend. Like, Haru's actually my best friend. And a lot of people that are married and with kids don't understand this. They don't believe me when I say it. Like, I literally actually love hanging out with this person, right? And I wake up in the morning, my day can be spent in multiple different ways. But I know for a fact that I will be most happy if I hang out with Haru. Not just because she's my daughter, like, she's actually very funny.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's like very, like, her sense of humor is very, like, something that I love, right?
Yeah.
So I just like hanging out with her. It makes me feel good and it makes me laugh a lot. And you know, as a huge bonus, it makes her laugh a lot too. So I actually just like hanging out with this person.
Yeah.
Which means that I want to spend as much time with her as possible.
Yeah.
And I still have a job and stuff. So I still got to work. So any time I have away from work, I would rather, you know, hang out with her.
Mm-hmm.
And if that makes me a bad friend, I mean, fine.
She'll let you know.
Yeah. Like,
she's the type to let you know.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's really hard for, because, you know, like to be a best friend to someone else, would you choose to be a bad parent then?
Yeah.
You know, that would be pretty bad, right? Like, no, but this is my best friend. This is like my bro. I gotta hang out with this bro like every day. I gotta drink.
I also guess I wonder then, you know, when you get to a certain age or part in your life, whatnot, how like the role of a friend might change. Cause you know, like, for example, I have like a lot of guy friends and obviously girlfriends, and like the girlfriends and I will like look at our guy friends, like hang out with each other, and we'll be like, oh, like what'd you do? And they'll be like, so I don't know, just like got food, like play games. And we'll be like, oh, like did you talk about this? Did you ask so and so about how their job is going and stuff? No. Like, okay. Do you know if they're into it, or are they gonna quit soon, or are they happy? I don't know. We don't talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, but then they'll be like, that's my best friend. And so that's what I'm saying. So like the role of a friend, does it change? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, I think I see what you're saying. Like, what my best, like, all my friendships, like, in my 20s, like, I have, like, sometimes I won't even know, like, who they're in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, I wouldn't care. And they wouldn't even care to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, one day, they'll be standing there, and I'm like, who's that? And they're like, it's my girlfriend.
It's like, dude, you're at my wedding.
And I'm like, you have a… I'm like, you have a girlfriend? And he's like, yeah, we've been dating for like 4 years. And I'm like, but you didn't tell me that though. And he's like, but why?
It never came up.
Yeah, like it never came up, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just hang out.
I don't get it. I like literally don't get it. It's like, what do you talk about then? Like,
you split the bill on pizza. And you just like hang out and you like talk about, like, did you see that movie?
Oh my God.
Damn, dude.
Oh my God.
That ending. Oh my God. Was it a dream?
You literally just was it a triggered dream or not? Me.
Was it a dream or not?
But then in turn, because for example, like when I was in London doing my like little screenwriting thing, I one time, there's 12 of us, six girls, six guys. One time, for whatever reason, I ended up having dinner with the six guys and I was the only girl, and that I almost fell asleep at the table. I was so bored. They did not stop talking for 2 hours over dinner about the new Star Wars trailer. They did not stop.
That was all, like, that's basically all of my friendships.
Yeah. And then when I the next day had dinner with the girls, it was, we were crying laughing, we're telling stories, we're like talking about like this and that, and like, oh, we should do this later, and like, you know, how's your parents doing, like, oh, are you gonna go back home soon, and blah blah blah. And I just felt so much more engaged. And so, and then you'll hear like a lot of young guys have a loneliness issue, like,
because they feel like no one cares about them,
like no one knows them,
like no one asks,
no one asks. And they feel like they don't have anyone to tell this info to because they're not used to being in a position where they share this kind of info. Well, until they get like a girlfriend or something, well, you know, no, in the stereotypical sense.
I think like you have to make an effort though. Like Two Cuts, for example, like Mithra, neither Mithra nor I like knew anything about Two Cuts for a long time.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, Two Cuts doesn't really show emotion. Like we didn't, like we had never seen any of his friends ever. Which is really weird, right? Like that he has no friends outside of us, right? And we knew that he did, but like we just never heard about them or never saw them.
Yeah.
And I actually had no idea what's like going on with like in his life.
Yeah.
There's really no way to know. But now we know everything, even though we don't really want to.
Yeah.
Like, because he just constantly talks about like things that are going on.
Oh really?
Yeah, like to like, yo, can you believe this? Like, so I went here and then this happened.
And I talked to this person.
So like school and then like, and then, and so now we know, right? But like, I'm pretty sure he was pretty lonely before.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he started like talking more about like what's going on with him, right? And but yeah, I did notice that like with a lot of my friends, and you know, we're living in Korea, right? Mm-hmm. We're like Koreans. And
you nailed it.
When I asked, like, dude, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Anytime I say how do you feel about something, like they find it weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, why? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you asking that though?
I just want to know you.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's like a less a cultural thing, more a personal. Like maybe more like a personality thing. I don't know. So I could become better friends with certain people, but it just stops because I feel like if they're not comfortable sharing their emotions, they're probably not likely to listen to mine or care about mine.
Yeah.
Right? So it just pretty much goes nowhere.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think, you know, just people's situations change. I think it's really 유치해. You know, like the thing that I think is the wackest thing in the whole world is when people are like, dude, that person changed. Dude, he changed. She changed. I think that's like the wackest thing anyone can say about anyone.
Yeah. As a complaint.
Yeah, as a complaint. But it gets so much traction because everyone agrees with you. And automatically it turns you into a bad person.
Yeah.
Right? Which is really weird. Like, what do you mean? Like, who the hell doesn't change? Like, literally we are shedding cells and regenerating cells.
Every 7 years you got a new body.
We are, like, physically we are constantly changing. Emotionally, you should be changing on a daily basis. If you're working hard at something, to expect a friend to not have changed, you're really hoping that they never advance, like that they never go to the next step, that they don't grow. Like, it just makes no sense, right? And I mean, of course, granted, like usually people say that, like let's say someone becomes famous and they become dicks.
Yeah.
Right? Then, yeah, that's usually when you say something like, you know, they've changed.
Yeah.
But quite often it's not even that. It's like, dude, he doesn't come out and hang out. He doesn't hang out with us anymore.
Yeah.
Well, do you know why even before you say they've changed? Because I've had people say that I've changed. And I was dealing with, you know, a sick dad.
Yeah.
Had they cared
to ask,
to even notice that I look incredibly sad.
Yeah. And I was just like curious because I know a lot of times people who listen into the Tablo podcast and are really thankful for it is because they come to it in moments of loneliness because they feel like whatever friends they do might have close to them aren't really the types to, as you know, say, like, hear them out or want to hear them out about certain things. So I was just like curious if like you feel that as you're older and obviously you know much better about who you are as a person. So when you choose friends or keep people in your life, you're a little bit more probably, you know, selective.
Yeah.
Right? Because like a lot of younger people who feel this way, it's probably because of circumstance, like they just aren't able to make different friends maybe, or like these are people they grew up with and are feel like they're stuck with.
Well, I think it's less with growing up. I've always been this way. Like, so I've had a lot of friends that I'm no longer friends with. Right? And I'm sure everyone is like that. But the minute I notice that this person, that there is something wrong with something this person is doing, and I might not feel that it's right for me to try to correct it or change it. I don't feel like that's my place or I have the right to do that. But it's like something where, you know, it can never be reconciled, like at all. Then I'll just end that friendship. And that might seem cold. That might seem like I'm changing friends, but no, because I still keep in touch with my elementary school friends.
You're a day oneer.
Yeah, which is really weird, right?
Yeah.
And my high school friends, and like
that's extremely impressive because it's not like you guys had like social media to like use to stay in touch.
Yeah, and these friends are like friends that I've, you know, I've been in different countries, like we've been away. And most of the people, I personally think most people that were friends with me but aren't and are complaining about it, like saying I'm the one who changed or I move on or something, probably just don't know themselves well enough to know that they were a problem.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm, you know, I'm friends with people. I've been friends with people for like 30 years. It's possible with these friends because, you know, they don't, you know, they don't punch their grandma.
Okay, yes. You
know? Yeah, you know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm glad.
They don't yell at the
waiters or something.
At someone who's serving, you know? And when I see that shit, I don't care how many years we've been friends. If I point it out and say, that's fucked up, but they don't feel the same way, I recognize that I'm not going to be able to change this person and maybe it's not my right to. And I'll just stop seeing this person.
Yeah.
And I think those are pretty damn good reasons to, you know.
Yeah.
If someone is like spitting on things, you know. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think those are pretty good reasons for me to end a friendship.
Yeah.
And when I do, usually these people don't recognize that they do that. That they're like that. Because nobody wants to admit to themselves that they're pieces of shit. Right? So, they usually are more talkative about the end of that relationship than I am.
Ah, yeah.
You know? I won't feel the need to be like, hey, you know, he did this or whatever. Right? I'll just move on.
Because they're still probably confused about why it ended.
Yeah, I'll just hang out with, you know, my friends who don't do that. But they usually are more vocal in their complaint, right? Minus the part that was the actual problem.
Yes.
Right? And because of that, you know, if any of you are going through this, because of that, you might become the bad person, right? Because this person's going around. But honestly, the way I've dealt with it is like, I don't even… So what?
Yeah.
And, you know, quite often it'll happen so that like someone else will end up hating me based off what this person's saying. But if you're the type of person to believe one side of the story so firmly without even hearing the other side, then, you know, you probably aren't worth my time either. And then and then these people always do things like, and this happens like in the social media space as well, like in the public space as well, right? Like someone will say something about me that isn't true. I won't feel any need to really fight it because I don't want to entertain them. And then people will believe what this person is saying and then call me, you know, many different things.
Because they think silence is guilty.
Yeah. And the thing is, no, I'm not guilty. That's not why I'm silent. I'm just ignoring you.
Yeah, there's like a crazy person that's saying like that the sky is like purple.
Right? And of course, I can say things about that person as well. But am I not allowed to just not? And then someone will be like, but yo, these other people are, you know, if you don't speak up, these other people are going to think the same thing about you. And this was actually a complaint that I had even with my big, you know, the Tajinho case. They're like, why don't you speak up sooner? I'm like, excuse me? Instead of asking, why did these people do such a horrible thing? You're asking me why I didn't, like, you're asking me?
Yeah.
But anyways, that will happen. But, you know, usually the way I am now, at least, I'll just be like, okay, well, if you want to believe that and you're quick to judge somebody that you've never met or, that you have never spoken to really, based off of what this louder person is saying, then you probably aren't worth my time either. And, luckily, I don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe even on Earth, right? You just don't know. And time is such an important thing to me. Like, even if I choose to waste it, right? Even if I choose to waste it, you know, trying to pick which Netflix movie to watch.
Finding Marshall.
Yeah, but with people I love, that time is much better spent than if I had spent that time trying to argue with people, trying to convince them that I'm not a bad person, trying to convince them that, you know, of my side of the story, of what these people like, trying to prove how they're lying. And what am I going to get out of that? You on my side?
If they were the type of people to hear your side and change their minds, they would have never been on that side in the first place.
Exactly.
So it's a lost cause.
If they hear my side of the story and it sounds more convincing, so they jump onto my side, do I want that? No.
Nar.
Like, I don't really care. There are people around me and in my life who will judge me based on what they have already seen. That will, you know, judge me on things I have said through my music for years, over a decade, almost two. Or personal experiences with me, or, you know, through interviews or just through this podcast, right? And if that is lighter in weight than someone's sentence or few words, then, you know, I'm sorry, but you're just not a very good judge of character. And I'd rather not waste my time, you know, trying to get you on my side.
Yes.
Like, it's just not worth it for me.
But clearly people who are listening to this, they're pretty much on your side. I don't think they would listen to the Tabo podcast if they weren't on your side.
You know,
well, unless they're just straight up weird hate stalkers, but, you know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
To not be on my side all the time either, because it, you know, it forces me to, like, you know, keep reevaluating myself.
Yeah.
But I think that's how you should, like, I remember our DMs and our on Discord and stuff, a lot of people were struggling with friendship, and a lot of it was something like this. Like, you know, my friend is, you know, has turned on me. You know, like, I'm trying to make a change in my life, but my friend is not very supportive. My friend thinks I've changed. My friends are, you know, saying things about me. You know, we saw a lot of those messages. And I feel like it's just more, like, it's amplified because of, you know, the technologies. And, but, you know, just, you gotta deal with it on your own way. Like, if you want to argue every single point and prove yourself right and, get people back on your side, which is totally your right, right? If you've been wronged. But if you're like me and at some point you choose to be just perfectly content with the number of people that are already on your side and will be on your side no matter what. If you're content with that, then you can just say, you know, like,
yeah,
that's pretty much where I'm at now.
Yeah, get, like, a haru.
I think I've lived long enough where, like, I'd rather have, like, for example, if we're gonna just use that, like, social media metrics, right? I'd rather have, like, 10,000 people that are, like, following me because they, like, actually, like, believe in me and they actually, like, you know, care, than 10 million followers who don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, our listeners, like, some of our listeners are, like, stressed when, you know, people, like, unfollow them or something, you know? Actually, my audience, no. My audience.
Too chill for that.
My audience.
They're chilling.
Is the one doing the unfollowing.
Oh, hey.
But anyways, Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like I'm perfectly happy with, like, I'm happy with our audience. I'm happy with Epic High's audience. I'm happy, and I love my audience, and it's already a lot of people to love, right?
Yeah.
I'm not in the game anymore of trying to get more fans or trying to get new fans or like breaking into markets.
Or change people's minds about you.
I don't care. Like my time is limited, and it's, you know, I don't even have enough time to take care of like the fans we already have, right? To deliver more to them. So that's what I'm gonna do. And luckily I'm in a position where I can do that. So I'm good. Yeah. And hopefully you guys can all get to your, you know, through your own way, get to where I am and just be good, you know?
We're vibing.
Huh?
We're vibing.
Yeah. That's it, guys. Like, that was the Tableau podcast. Like, we started with, like, I think talking about, like, aliens and, like, Scientology.
Lobsters. Then, you spent an hour on lobsters.
Yeah, and then somehow ended up here. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Dive Studios. Thank you to Diane. Thank you, Sungun. Thank you, Eddie, who was so instrumental at the beginning.
For real.
Until COVID
was like, this is too strong.
Yeah, COVID.
This is too intense of a vibe.
Tore us apart. but seriously, like, thank you to everyone involved with Dive. Thank you to everybody on our various platforms. And I'm not just poof, disappearing.
You still got that 1 million to hit on Epic High's YouTube channel.
I know for a fact that you guys didn't listen to every single one of our episodes, and our episodes are still going to be up there. So it's time for you to catch up. I'll give you like a couple of years. Epic High's YouTube channel still hasn't hit 1 million. We still don't have the gold button. So obviously, like, which is really weird because I just said so
you're happy with 10,000.
I'm perfectly content. Hey.
Wait, that was for Twitter, though.
Let me correct myself here. I'm perfectly content with my audience right now. But YouTube-wise, I am not content. I would be much happier if we had that gold button, though. Like, honestly. Then I'll be perfectly happy. Like, I won't need the diamond button or whatever.
Oh.
I don't need 2 million followers. Yeah, I don't even
You're humble.
Even need 1,000,001. I just need it to stay at million so that they don't take the gold button away from me.
Yeah, which I've heard they do.
They do?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. That'd be dope. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for being with me on this journey. I know not everything I say or said makes sense. I'm just as confused as all of you. But hopefully, like, we've taken a couple steps in the direction of figuring things out. Whenever you guys need to reach out to me, because for whatever reason, because we're family now, you can, I actually haven't been on my socials in a while. Like, I just forgot, honestly, because I've been reading a lot. I've been trying to just learn new things. And as a result, I totally forgot to, I don't think I've been on Instagram or whatever for like a couple months, maybe. I don't know. Month, maybe a month. I don't know. But just, like if I post something, leave it in the comments or something, or, I don't check my DMs. I'm sorry. You can send a tweet to me. What other ways are there to reach me?
None.
Wait, so they're probably going to get rid of my Discord section, right?
No, we can keep it.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I'll jump in once in a while. You can also send me like mail No, you can't.
No.
There's no address.
The post office doesn't exist in New York.
Yeah, there's
anymore.
No address. Epikai doesn't have an office. We've been a mobile company since we were ahead of the curve. Anyways, yeah. If you can't get through to me, just hit up Eric at K-pop Tebak. Just be like, Eric, can you get this message across to Tableau? And Diane's like pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore. So I'm only on it if I'm on my computer.
Anyways, thank you to everyone that helped make this happen. Because it's been an amazing experience for me. I'm not coming back, is what I'm saying. I'm seriously not coming back. But if I do come back, it's going to be bigger and like stronger and more amazing. It's going to be the best podcast ever. It's going to be so big. And it's going to be like, it's probably going to not be hosted here at Dive Studios because you guys can't handle it. Like Dive Studios bandwidth.
We need the amphitheater. We need the Olympic Stadium in Seoul.
Your bandwidth can't handle the greatness I'm coming back with. So it'll probably have to be like, you know, Apple or Spotify, like fighting, like just like, you know, trying like a bidding war.
Ooh.
For me. And then like probably like Amazon will jump in, you know, like for some odd reasons, Samsung will jump in as well. Now LG will be like, yo, let me get,
we're here too.
Let me get my hand in here. And then, and then I'll have to, you know,
and then
I'll
just like
choose.
Walmart.
Yeah, I'll have to choose.
Yeah.
Because like, what can I do? Right?
Hot commodity.
They all want it.
They all want this.
next time I see you guys, it's probably going to be with an album. I have no idea when. I hope, you know, who cares about the album? Who cares about the podcast?
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
I just want this virus to go away. I just want it to be contained. That's all I want right now. I can't believe that I did my first coronavirus episode like
in February. Yeah, you did it. You literally did it before it became a pandemic.
And 7 months later.
You got to stop being a trendsetter. It's happening in the worst ways.
Yeah, it's just
you got to stop being
bad.
I don't like this.
I know I'm not going to be here for the end of 2020. So let me just let you know, like 2021 needs to be the awesome year we thought this year was going to be. Okay? I just please, I don't care where it comes from. We need a vaccine.
And ads.
Bye, guys. Bye. Bye forever.
You're listening to your Tableau podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
That's to your. You are listening to the.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.